Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This morning, I want to read to you from the book of Philippians and share with you a testimony that I share from time to time, because folks who have heard about this story often ask that I share it with those who have not heard it yet. And I don't want my sneakers to become icons, but I do want to continue to give testimony to the faithfulness of God. So in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, this is God's word. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There is so much packed into those verses that we could spend a long time just going through phrase by phrase. But I want us this morning to especially focus on one of the phrases, and that is the fact that we are to offer our requests to God in the context of thanksgiving. Now, many of you, when you hear the term Thanksgiving, immediately think of the holiday. You think about turkey, you think about, at my house, whipped potatoes. We have sweet potato casserole. We have green bean casserole. We have lots of casseroles. We have all kinds of delicious food at our house, but that is the way we eat on Thanksgiving Day. That's not Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving includes what we do right before we eat all that magnificent food, and that is we thank God. Well, we do that before breakfast, and we do that before supper, and we do that every day, and not just at mealtime. Thanksgiving is a way of life for those who know the Lord. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And he didn't teach that to a bunch of guys who were totally without food. He didn't teach that to guys who didn't have jobs, didn't know how to make a living. He taught that to people who had ways in which they could support themselves financially. They had resources they could fall back on. But he wanted them to understand that everything we have comes from God, and therefore we are to live, regardless of our circumstances, we are to live with an attitude of dependence on God. Give us this day our daily bread. And thanksgiving to God, gratitude, knowing that what we have has in fact come from him. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. All the blessings we enjoy, whether we realize it or not, come from God's hand. And so when we enjoy a meal, when we enjoy a sporting event, when we enjoy a sunrise or a sunset or a rainbow or a rain shower, whatever it is, all of that we need to receive as from God's hand, and we need to offer thanks to Him. But here Paul talks about another aspect of this, and that is when we are praying for something to happen, we pray with thanksgiving. We don't just pray and then thank God when we receive the answer. We pray and we thank God as we pray. Look at the verse. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, that's the asking, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, I would submit to you that we ought to thank God for the need that is driving us to Him. Because God often makes us alert to things that we long for in order to draw us to Him. And the greatest thing we need is not that immediate thing we're praying for. The greatest thing we need is Him. So if God alerts us to our need for Him by putting us in a situation where we're aware of other needs in order to draw us to prayer, that's a good thing. So we ought to thank God, literally, thank God that we're in a situation where we have a sense of our dependence on Him. I've said this many times, but I want to say it again. All of us are completely dependent on God every day, whether we recognize it or not. God is the creator of all things. God is the one who set this planet up. God is the one who set up this universe. Everything we enjoy starts with God. God is the one who not only invented oxygen, God's the one who designed our lungs, who made it so that we would be able to process that oxygen. He came up with red blood cells to carry the oxygen throughout our body through a system that is intricately made and absolutely marvelous and wonderfully fascinating, and you ought to all learn about it, and you should know what capillaries are. There are wonderful, wonderful things to discover about what God has made, but the more you discover the intricacies and the beauty of His creation, the more it ought to cause you to worship, to recognize what a wonderful, marvelous God we serve. How infinite His wisdom. How amazing His attention to detail. God designed everything beautifully. Now, as we recognize through various needs that arise that we are dependent on God, we ought to thank God for those things that call our attention to our need of Him. But secondly, we are to give thanks knowing that God hears our prayer when we pray in accordance with His word and therefore with His will, and that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. God hears us, and we know that if He hears us, we have those things we ask of Him. It's already there. When one of my kids asks me, "Dad, would you please do this for me?" If I say yes, they don't have to say, "Well, we'll see." Because if they ask me for something and I say yes, they can say thank you right then. Because if I say yes, it's done. I keep my word. Because I want to be like my Father in heaven who keeps His word. He does what He says. And when God tells us in His word, "This is yours," and we're asking God to do that in our lives, for instance, to conform us to the likeness of Christ. He has already said in His word that that's His plan and that that's what He's going to do. So guess what? When we pray that we would be conformed to the likeness of Christ, we can thank God because that one's in the works. Okay? God has already said it's his idea. We're not talking him into it. We're coming and asking him to do that which he has declared he is going to do. And so we're getting our lives into line with what God says he wants. And he will bring it to pass. So we thank him as we ask him. We ask in prayer with thanksgiving.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
Now, I want to share with you this morning a story that is somewhat famous in certain circles of when I was in college. And I have been plagued throughout my life. It's not as bad now. But growing up, I was hideously insecure. And my family was poorer financially than most of my contemporaries. Most of the people who lived around us and most of the people I went to school with had a lot more money than my family did. And so they would buy the new thing and I would wear my brother's hand-me-downs. And my brother was 6 years older than I was. So by the time I got to wear whatever he had worn, it was really old. And to add on top of that, I was sick a whole lot as a kid. I mean, I was sick a lot. And therefore, I didn't get out and play. And the other kids were learning athletic skills that I was not learning because I was literally sick in bed. And so then I'd go out and I was the biggest klutz in the world. And you combine that with a kind of OCD personality that is oriented toward perfectionism and absolutely feels devastated if I make a mistake. I mean, see, to me, if I go on the basketball court, I dribble the ball and then I make a shot and it doesn't go through the hoop, I'm just absolutely devastated. Because you're supposed to throw the ball and have it go through the hoop. So, I mean, to me, getting out in some sort of athletic setting and trying to compete with other people, this was just horrible. I'm the guy who felt totally stupid in math because when we did speed drills in second grade, Richard Hudson was faster than me. And if I'm not first, that means somebody else is better at it than I am. And that's just terrible. I want to be the best. No, I can't be the best. I'm no good at this. That is stupid, selfish, sinful thinking. I was full of it. Now, one of the ways I tried to cope, rather than repentance, which is the right thing, was to try to look like I knew what I was doing. Okay? So when I went off to college, I had to take physical education. It was a requirement for graduation. And in order to participate in physical education, I had to have what were referred to as athletic shoes. So I got a pair of athletic shoes. They were leather sneakers. That was before all the man-made space-age materials that we now use for sports shoes. Back then, leather was the best you could do. Canvas was what everybody else had. Those of us who were really cool had leather sneakers. And I wore those leather sneakers, one pair, through 2 years of college. I went off to two more years in Massachusetts and came in from physical education class one day, went to pull my shoe off, and as I pulled on the bottom without untying it, which is a stupid, lazy thing to do, as I did that, the top of the shoe completely separated from the sole of the shoe. My shoe had given up its soul for me. But my shoe was dead. I mean, it was irretrievable. It was useless. It was totally torn up. And I was stunned because it had never done that before. And I went to pull off the other one, and it did the same thing, which is really amazing, given the fact that they had stayed on all through phys ed class, and they'd stayed on all the way up to the dorm room, and it was not until I went to pull them off that they pulled apart. Well, I was horrified because I needed athletic shoes for class. So what to do? Well, I realized that I was on a very limited budget. I had about $15, $16 in my bank account, which is not very much money. It wasn't even very much money back then. And it was about $24, as I recall, to get the kind of shoes I wanted. Leather Converse All-Stars. Now, some of you are still familiar with Converse All-Stars. Cool shoes. They're still around today. But leather Converse All-Stars were the primo shoe. That was what the athletes wore. That was what the cool people wore. That was what the wannabe athletes wore. And I thought that if I wore leather Converse All-Stars, people would assume that even if I wasn't doing well on the court that day, it wasn't because I'm not an athlete. He's just having an off day. But you can tell he's cool. Look at his shoes. So in my vain fantasies, I thought if I could get a pair of leather Converse All-Stars, I would look cool. And I knew that God did not promise cool in the Bible. He promised we'd get whatever we need. And I knew I didn't need leather Converse All-Stars. But I also knew that my Father in heaven loves me. And I knew that I could ask him for whatever I needed and be guaranteed of getting it. So I said, Father, you know that I have to have a pair of athletic shoes. Please give me a pair of athletic shoes. And I thank you right now that you've promised you'll do that and that you are going to do that. Now, Father, if you would, please, I know you love to give good gifts to your children. Would you please let me have a pair of leather Converse All-Stars? I know I don't have enough money to do it. They're at the mall in Danvers, and I don't have a way of getting there. I'll have to get somebody to give me a ride. They cost more money than I have in my account. I don't know how you'll make up the difference, but Lord, please, if I could please have leather Converse All-Stars, please, that's what I want, Lord. And I thank you that whatever you provide will be best. In Jesus' name, amen. I went to supper. I went back, spent the night. The next morning, I got up and went to check my mail. While I'm checking my mail, I heard some guys behind me saying, look at that, leather Converse All-Stars for sale. My antenna went up. One of them said, $9. Man, that's unbelievable. And then another one said, oh, wrong size. I turned around and I looked, and there was a handmade sign that had just gone up on the bulletin board, said, brand new leather Converse All-Stars for sale. Size 8.5D. That was my size. $9. Color purple. I thought, purple? I can't wear purple shoes. I can't even own purple shoes. But the fact that the price was within my budget and that they were on campus and that they were there in my size that very day after I'd prayed, I had to check it out. So it said, if interested, put a note in box such and such. And so I put a note in that box and I said, I'm interested in the shoes if you still have them. And I got a note back within a couple of hours and said, the shoes are yours. Come to Shepherd Hall, ask for Joe Snook. I thought, that's not right. Shepherd Hall is a women's dorm. And why would anyone be named Joe Snook? But it said J-O-E Snook. And I thought, well, I've got to check it out. And I began to fantasize in my paranoid mind about what it would be when I went into that women's dorm. I'd never been in the girls' dorm before. I thought, what will happen? I'm going to walk into the dorm. I'm going to say to the people inside there, I'd never been inside at all to even see what it's like. I'm imagining it in my mind. Somebody's going to say, can I help you? And I'm going to say, yes, I'm looking for Joe Snook. And everybody's going to burst into laughter and say, ha, 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 he came. Because I thought, this just can't be real. But, you know, I just had to see. So I went to the dorm and somebody did, in fact, say, may I help you? And I said, yes, I'm looking for Joe Snook. And they said, okay, just a minute. And they went on the intercom and they said, Joe Ellen, there's somebody down here to see you. It turns out it's J-O-E for Ellen Snook. Well, now it all makes sense. So Joe Ellen came down. She was about my height. And she said, you're the guy who wants the shoes? I said, yes. And she said, let me get them for you. She brought out a brand new, beautiful box and opened it up. And bright as something on Sesame Street was this pair of leather Converse All-Stars. I looked at those and I thought, boy, I was hoping maybe navy. You know, maybe she just said purple, but they're not really purple, but there's no denying that's purple. And so I said, why are you selling these shoes? She said, well, they don't fit me. And I said, really? She said, no, they're not my size. I didn't have the courage to ask if she actually wore larger or smaller, but I just said, okay. I said, well, you know, where did you get them? She said, I bought them. I said, why did you buy shoes that were the wrong size? She said, I don't know. She said, I wore them for about a half an hour and just decided I can't do this. So I put them in my closet. That was last spring. And they've just been sitting there until the other day when I suddenly had the thought pop into my head, you need to sell those shoes. And so I made that sign and put it on the bulletin board. I said, when did that thought come into your head? She said, well, it was right before supper. And I said, that's right when I was praying that God would give me a pair of leather Converse All-Stars. She said, really? Well, do you want them? And I said, yeah, but tell me about the color. Did you just love the color? She said, no, I hate the color. And I said, then why did you buy them? She said, I don't know. I just did. Well, I know why she bought them. She bought them because God wanted me to have those shoes. Do you know that purple is the color of royalty? It really is. And I am a child of the King. And God wanted me to have a pair of shoes because I was so bent on looking cool, and God has a tremendous sense of humor. God knew that I would be embarrassed by the color. And yet, every time I wore those shoes, somebody would say to me, where did you get those shoes? And I would get to tell them that my Heavenly Father meets all my needs. I got to witness to so many people because of those shoes. Over and over and over. Literally, there never was a day that I wore those shoes when I didn't have at least one person ask me about them. I still have the shoes. I don't worship the shoes. I worship my Heavenly Father who loved me so much that when I was begging him for leather Converse All-Stars, God was saying, I've got a pair for you. I'm telling you something, folks. The God to whom we make our requests known is a God who already knows everything we need. And he's already made full provision for everything we need. and the needs that we have are to drive us to Him. So when we go to Him in prayer, we need to thank Him. Thank Him for the need, thank Him for His provision, and thank Him for the ways that He will not only keep His promises, but use all these things in order to help us serve Him more effectively and witness for Him in this world. Because what people really need is not just new shoes. What they really need is to know Him. And those shoes have been a reminder to me for decades now that He knows and that He provides and that He has a tremendous sense of humor. I still am not real big on athletics, but I'm not nearly as perfectionistic as I used to be. Because even though I managed to stay off the basketball court, God's given me plenty of other opportunities to realize that I am very, very, very fallible, but that He is perfect. And my righteousness is not based on performance. My righteousness is Christ Jesus. And if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, you don't need to be worried about free throws. You need to be seeking to do His will. You need to be trusting in what He has done for you and seeking to do what He tells you to.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.